Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Paul B. Rauschenbusch. The sermon is based on scripture from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, and Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. Central Sunday morning service for the 12th of October, 2025, the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Services under Worship.
A reading from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 30 to 31. Listen for God's holy word. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Good morning. I'm sorry. I muff that, and I'll muff other things, but I will say this. Holy wisdom, holy word. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're off to a good start. Anyway, good morning again. Let me say it is a great honor to be with you this morning, and a special thanks to Reverend Sharon and Reverend Kate for welcoming me into this pulpit. I also want to welcome a new friend, who is Wesley Myrick, who is the executive director of the Georgia Interfaith Public Policy Center, who has joined us today. So thank you for being here, Wesley. Most importantly, I want to thank all of you for being present here in church on this Pride Sunday in this critical time for our nation. I was at the Pride Festival yesterday and saw Central Presbyterian booth there with fans that had the slogan, "Love is central, central is love." And I felt so glad that today I would be preaching here, because I am leaning hard into the radical power of love. So I feel right at home. It's especially meaning for me to be in this Presbyterian church, and I know that my mother, who is a lifelong Presbyterian, is smiling, because I have the unique honor of being the only person in the history of the Presbyterian church to have failed confirmation. The church was Covenant Presbyterian Church in Madison, Wisconsin, and my parents expected all of us to go to church for confirmation class. Now, once we had gone through the classes, we were actually given the choice whether or not to be confirmed or not, depending on how we felt. My problem was that I didn't know that attendance of the classes was required. I did show up the day before Confirmation Sunday, and the pastor looked around the room and gave me a sideways glance and said, "Almost all of you will be confirmed tomorrow." And I was like, "Oh, no." I then had to come clean with my parents that I had just been going to my friend Todd's house during the time. But the truly strange thing was that on my own, I decided that getting confirmed meant something to me. And so I met with a pastor, and I wrote my first theological essay entitled, "God is my friend." And to my utter amazement, I cried while reading it and was indeed confirmed. There's a moral of that story, and it's that showing up actually matters. Who we show up with, how we show up, but the fact that we show up matters. There's one other point that I want to make about my church growing up, that Covenant Presbyterian Church, on this Pride Sunday. I had always thought of it as a kind of milquetoast, middle-class church, and it kind of was. Yet it was also a church that had a female pastor in the 70s, when it was still fairly new. My dad preached at that church against racist redlining real estate practices in the state of Wisconsin. And my mother spoke to the congregation about contraception and reproductive freedom. And I never once heard any message from the pulpit or anywhere else that was negative towards LGBTQ people. And I'm so grateful for that because it made my coming out so much less painful. Being a welcoming congregation like this one truly saves lives. And Covenant was not the only place where LGBT love and welcome was the norm. For almost 40 years, I have attended church, and I have never been part of a church that was not welcoming and affirming of LGBTQ people. In fact, the majority of Christians in America today support full equality for LGBTQ people. And I say that here in this pulpit on Pride Sunday because it is important that we recognize that there are so many Christians who care about the well-being of the LGBTQ community, not in spite of our faith, but because of our faith commitments, and that our exercise in support of LGBTQ people is part of our religious freedom. We need to claim both our faith and our pride in these dangerous times. The Southern Baptists recently passed a resolution that essentially declares as war on same-sex marriage and LGBT families like my own. Pride flags are being torn down. Corporations are pulling back from former commitments. Even as we celebrate Pride here in Atlanta, cities across the country are canceling them. In dozens of states, there are bills attacking and attempting to erase trans people, as well as normalizing violence and legalizing discrimination against the LGBTQ community. And the Supreme Court. I can't even start on the Supreme Court. And of course, the LGBTQ community is only one of many communities being attacked in the terrible onslaught that has been coming at us since the inauguration of Trump last January. The guardrails that many, including me, believed that would keep our democracy intact are gone. America has been on the international list of backsliding democracies since 2021, and we are now in free fall. Our cities are being occupied by the military, and our neighbors, friends, and family are being abducted without due process as concentration camps are built to imprison them. Our president speaks openly of his admiration for dictators abroad and is increasingly using their tactics as a blueprint. White Christian nationalists act as cheerleaders for rising authoritarianism, even as vulnerable communities are scapegoated. The ability to hold free and fair elections is being targeted and gerrymandered at the direction of the White House. And this all takes a toll. Even as we prepare ourselves for the celebration of Pride, I suspect that many of us come to worship this morning with some degree of fear, fury, and heartbreak. But we've come to the right place. On this beautiful Atlanta morning, in this historic church, with this special community, we acknowledge the reality of the world in which we are living and ask ourselves, what does God require of us? In response, Jesus gives the answer he gave in his own terrifically difficult time. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and with all our strength. And we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. In the face of all the hate, all the fear, all the cynicism and despair, Jesus breaks in and speaks the good news of love. And I don't pretend for a minute to say that following Jesus' call to love is easy. But it has never been easy. While America's current challenges are unique, they are not unprecedented. Throughout our history, there have been terrible times of violence and threat, especially against marginalized communities. And too often, it has come with the legitimizing support of powerful people who bear the name of Christ. And yet, our country has other examples of followers of Jesus who chose to love God and to love their neighbor. And in that decision, they accessed the courage to meet their own moment, just as we will meet ours. The president of Democracy Forward, Sky Perryman, recently declared that courage is the new currency. I believe that too. And as a Christian and as an American, I want to start minting courage and spending it lavishly. The root of the word courage is the Latin word cor, which means heart. Courage is an act of love. Courage is where loving God and loving our neighbor meet. Nobody is born rich with courage. Rather, courage is a practice that is cultivated, a spiritual discipline rooted in love that we can grow in places just like Central Presbyterian Church. One of the most important Christian figures in American history is the Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. And he was born in 1899, was raised by his formerly enslaved grandmother. Reverend Thurman became a Baptist preacher and served as Dean of the Cathedral at Howard University and Dean of the Chapel at Boston University, as well as pastor of an integrated church in San Francisco. And early on in his ministry, he became friends with Mahatma Gandhi, and they influenced one another. Howard Thurman was both a mystic and a prophet who made the connection between loving God and loving our neighbor, between spirituality and courage. And he wrote, "There is a quiet courage that comes from an inward spring of confidence in the meaning and significance of life. Such courage is an underground river, flowing far beneath the shifting events of one's experience, keeping alive 1,000 little springs of action." Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a student at Boston University when Howard Thurman was a dean of the chapel there. King was enormously influenced by Thurman, who shaped King's approach to social change through centering love and nonviolent resistance. In fact, King carried a copy of Howard Thurman's book, Jesus and the Disinherited, in his pocket during the Montgomery bus boycott. Dr. King reflected on courage as well, writing in his autobiography, "Courage is an inner resolution to go forward despite obstacles. Cowardice is submissive surrender to circumstances. Courage breeds creativity." And we do need courage, and we do need creativity right now. Unfortunately, I believe that the worst is yet to come. That the wave of authoritarianism is cresting, and nobody is going to save us but us. America needs the moral courage and organizational power of our faith communities. Now is the time for the pro-democracy faith movement to go deep, to go wide, and to go far, and to save the very soul of our democracy. Congregations like Central are taking the lead. This very sanctuary can be a haven where each of us is invited to go deep within our love for God and neighbor and access that well of spiritual power and resilience that will sustain us, heal us, and from which our courage will spring. Courage is contagious and best exercised in community with others. And this congregation can help us go wide and be a hub for trusted information, civic gatherings, and networks of resources and organizing across lines of difference. In my role as president of Interfaith Alliance, I'm on the steering committee for the No Kings demonstration across the country, and the next one will take place on October 18th. No Kings wants to underscore this is a nonviolent, peaceful, indeed very American response to what we are seeing in our country. And they're reaching out to faith communities to be a part of it. My particular challenge to congregations is to follow in the footsteps of the civil rights movement and train members in the spiritual discipline and skills of peaceful, nonviolent resistance. I had the chance to interview the Reverend John Lewis, who explained how everyone who showed up for demonstrations in the civil rights movement had to be trained first, and those trainings often happened in churches like this one. We need more people who are rooted in love, rooted in peace, and who have the courage to show up and speak out. And finally, congregations like this one can be a place where we can hold on to the vision to go far, rooted in the promise of the beloved community on earth as it is in heaven. Maria Stephan is an expert in democracy preservation. And Maria joined Interfaith Alliance on a national organizing call last spring to explain the critical role that religious groups have played in many of the successful efforts to overcome authoritarian rule in countries around the world. She said, quote, "Religious beliefs offer transformative visions, messages of hope, and a sense that victory is inevitable, which sustains nonviolent struggles in the face of repression." She went on, "Autocrats want us to believe that resistance is futile and that we are powerless to change things. This is where we need the hope that we can win, which faith grounded in spiritual practice can provide us." Recently in DC, there was a demonstration against the occupation of the city by the military, and in the middle of the route, there was a church that rang its bells as the people walked by. And I just learned that this church did the same thing for No Kings One. The effect of those bells, I had atheists, Jews, people from all different backgrounds saying, those bells and the solidarity that they represented was the most important part of the entire day. Listen for this word. People are so hungry for Christians to show up right now as people who truly represent the love and courage of our tradition. And I am glad to say that I see Christians and other people of diverse faiths and beliefs who are meeting this moment. We are seeing more and more faith communities showing up at ICE detention facilities and at demonstrations, offering a peaceful, prophetic presence. At my own organization, over the last 9 months, Interfaith Alliance has seen our numbers of people signing up skyrocketing. We have now almost four times the number of local affiliates that are being formed, or established groups like the Georgia Interfaith Public Policy Center, which Mr. Merrick represents, which just 2 days ago joined our network. On Tuesday, we will be hosting thousands of people for a No Kings Faith Mobilization Call, and consider yourself invited. It's time to be clear about our own religious freedom, showing up in this moment, proclaiming the good news of love and liberation. So I come back to the lesson I learned at Covenant Presbyterian: showing up matters. Following Jesus' call, we will show up for the rights of LGBTQ people to live, love, and pray freely alongside every other person in this country, and we will do so rooted in the principles of love. I am so grateful for Central Presbyterian that is offering hope and love to this world on this Pride Sunday, but every other day. May this house of God and all of us be blessed with courage, and may our democracy persevere for and by the people with liberty and justice for all. Let's make love central. Let's go do some pride. Amen. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA, located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.